world. Behind the Block, Bob Zimmerman is here. Bob, what is Bepi Colombo's mission?
Bepi Colombo is a joint European Space Agency and Japanese JAXA Space Agency mission to Mercury. It's actually made up of two orbiters, one from Europe and one from Japan. And they're attached to a passenger transfer module, which actually contains thrusters for providing course corrections on the way to and into Mercury orbit. To get to Mercury, it's complicated. They had a flyby of Earth. They had two flybys of Venus. They had three flybys of Mercury, and they have three more flybys to go. But between the third and fourth Mercury flybys this spring, they discovered that the thrusters on that transfer module were failing to produce the desired thrust. This is serious. It means they don't have the power to do what they're supposed to do the mid-course corrections and to put the spacecraft into Mercury orbit, both those orbiters. Once they get into orbit, those will separate, and they'll take complementary orbits around Mercury to cover different science. It's actually a very good idea. So what do you do? So they spent a lot of time analyzing, and they figured out what they can do is change the trajectory of the spacecraft so that it can take advantage of the weaker thrusters to do what needs to be done. In other words, speed it up by slingshot effect so that it makes up for the weaker thrust. And they've done that. The result, however, means that this spacecraft won't arrive till Mercury a year late. It'll arrive in November 26 instead of 25, but it'll work, and that's the important thing. They will fly by the Earth later this week, but fly very close to the Earth, only about 100 miles above the surface. That's 22 miles closer than originally planned, and that'll give it extra gravitational boost to make up for the weaker thrusters, John.
Engineers are cool, Bob. They're just cool. Every time you come up with a problem, I can hear it in your voice that you know the engineers are going to solve it. Just give them time.
They can't do it every time, John, but if you know, humans, this is what humans are. We are adaptive tool makers, and engineers are the epitome of that.
Do they get excited when they have a problem like this that they have to sit around and have? Is this like joy for them?
You know, it depends on who the engineer is and where their responsibility is. You know, no one likes a problem. They want things to work well. But at the same time, if you're good engineers, solving a problem like this is, you know, cool. It's fun.
Sunspot update. Okay, you talk about the word boom. What does that mean?
The sun, every month I do this update based on NOAA's monthly graph tracking the number of sunspots on the sun's Earth-facing hemisphere. And so this week, at the start of September, they posted an update, and so I posted an update with that graph, but I add context to it to try to understand what's going on. And the sun continues to produce more sunspots than it has in more than two decades. That's what's really significant here, and almost a quarter century, in fact. And in fact, it does now appear that we are heading towards an extremely powerful solar maximum in the next year or so. The most powerful solar maximum, at least since 21. And there is even the possibility it could match the strong maximums in 1980 and 1990. And there's even an outside chance that it might even exceed the strongest maximum ever recorded so far from October 1957. That's all speculation. We really don't know, and I want to emphasize this. No one knows. Not one solar scientist in the world really knows what's going to happen by this very fact. Every prediction they have made for the last two solar cycles has been wrong. There were two predictions about this particular maximum. One said it would be a very weak maximum. The other said it would be a very strong maximum. However, last year, the ones who predicted a strong maximum backed off that prediction. They revised it downward and said, no, it'll be stronger than the other prediction, but still not particularly strong. They should have stuck with their original prediction, but they didn't, because they really don't know what's going to happen. And so instead, it's going to be a strong maximum. That could have impact on our climate. A lot of media people won't want to talk about this, and a lot of science activists won't want to talk about this. But the sun, when it does, has a lot of activity, tends to appear to coincide with heating on the Earth. And so we have an active sun right now that could result in a warmer climate on the Earth. That doesn't mean fossil fuels had anything to do with that, and we should be aware of that. But that's where we stand, John. It's the future is unknown at the moment, and scientists really do not understand how the sun functions, and it's a major component, the most important component on our climate.
You have a photograph of a galaxy that is not ours, and it has a black hole in the middle. Is that what we look like?
No, the Milky Way doesn't look like anything. This is a cool image that was produced by Hubble Space Telescope that I posted on Behind the Black. It shows a galaxy with an active galactic nuclei. It has a supermassive black hole that's 65 million times the mass of our sun. To give you some context, the Milky Way has a black hole in the center that's about 4 million times the mass of the sun. So this is 7 times bigger. And it's active. It's eating up material at a great rate, producing a lot of high energy. And so they took this picture to study that kind of phenomenon, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,